This is Rick Walker. You're tuned in to Power Talk on 89.7 Power FM. You know, I have some moments in my life when, you know, and I don't know, thank the Lord, I've never had a near-death experience, or at least that I'm aware of, but I have heard when you have a near-death experience, your brain will replay like a highlight reel, just some moments, some highlights, some flashes, and I hope it's not for a long time, but I can imagine some of those highlights, because in my life I look back and it's almost like a reel of highlights that come flashing through my mind, and some moments I have lived have left an indelible mark, and several of those moments have occurred when I was in Kenya on a mission trip, when I was in Ethiopia, when I was in Indonesia, and I'm just here to tell you, sometimes the most life profound moments, life-changing moments, happen when you least expect it, when you're giving, when you're out on the mission field. Well, I have a guest this evening that her name is Elizabeth Geitz, and she is an Episcopal priest. She's does mission outreach in Africa, and she's written a book. The book is called I Am That Child, Changing Hearts and Changing the World. Elizabeth, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's great to have you. There's so many directions we can go, but I just have to tell you, I have been so changed by it being exposed to third world poverty, AIDS, TB, disease, death, and going on mission trips. It just... I came back to America after the first one, and I thought, please, if I ever complain, just shoot me on the spot. I have no reason to ever complain, but it's life-changing when you see this stuff, isn't it?
Oh, it's very life-changing, and nothing really prepares you for it. I had worked in the inner city in Trenton, New Jersey for 5.5 years.
Wow.
With women on welfare before I attended seminary, which is actually sort of what led me to go to seminary. And I had always wanted to go to a developing nation, to one of the third world countries, and I'd never had a chance to do it. So I was given a sabbatical, and I just, you know, went. And it has stayed with me every single day that I have been back.
Wow. Now, you are, not only are you a priest with the Episcopalian Church, you're author, you go around, you speak around the country, you do missions work. I mean, you're into a lot of things. Did this start from your work with the inner city, or, I mean, how did you get interested in focusing so much on outreach?
You know, Rick, it really is a matter of listening to that still small voice of God within me and going where I felt led to go, even though it was the last place I ever thought I would be.
Yeah.
I never thought I would work in the inner city. I never thought I would do what I did in Africa, but I felt something within me telling me to do it, and something, a very clear leading in my life. And I think that when that happens to us, we need to go ahead and be willing to step out in faith and take a chance on being changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to me.
Excellent. Now, when you look back, and let me talk about the inner city outreach first. When you look back at that, and earlier at the beginning of the show, I was talking about a flashback of scenes from your life. When you think of your inner city work, what comes to mind? Do you have any highlights or stories that jump out?
Yeah, the one vividly came to mind when you said that. I was actually working in a Catholic settlement house, and my daughter was in kindergarten at the time, and her school had an outreach. They had asked for some tutors to come down there and work in the preschool and, you know, help people out. And I had been a high school English teacher, and so I knew I could help, but I will be very honest with you, I was afraid to go there. I was really afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I had bought into all the stereotypes and the myths, and I was afraid to go. But something just wouldn't let me go, so I went. And ended up writing a proposal to start a GED program for the women who were dropping their children off at this preschool. So one day, the Sisters of the Sacred Heart, who were running this program, said, we're going to do a video. It's the first time I'd ever really done a video with me, and at that time I was a housewife in Princeton, New Jersey, and they wanted to do it with me and a young man from Haiti who had been helped by the outreach in Trenton. And we sat there together as the tapes rolled, and we spoke to each other before we went on this air wave. And he looked at me, and I felt the eyes of God were looking right at me.
Wow.
I saw the face of God in the people there in a way that I had never seen the face of God before. And I just knew that's what it was. And it changed my life.
Left a profound impact. You know, if you're listening this evening, I'm hoping that you will be inspired, because sometimes when we are talking outreach or missions or people just kind of, they tune out, but I'm telling you that it can change your life. And with, summer's not too far off, and you could start planning a short-term mission trip with your youth group, your church. It will do something profound to your life when you give. And sometimes, these people are the only Jesus they'll see. You know, your love, your walk. So our guest this evening is Elizabeth Geitz, and you can go to her website, by the way. It's Elizabeth is spelt with a Z, Elizabeth Geitz, G-E-I-T-Z, ElizabethGeitz.com. She is author of the book, I Am That Child, Changing Hearts and Changing the World. So Elizabeth, let me ask you, let's go to the African outreach, and then I want to delve in a little bit there. But what are some moments? Well, first of all, tell me how that got started, and then give me some highlights, some stories that stick out regarding your mission outreach to the African nations.
I had been given a sabbatical. I worked for a bishop at the time, and I'd been given a sabbatical. I had no idea how to spend it, but was clear that I wanted to do something to reach out and help other people. I had met Sister Jane Monca when she was in the United States 5 years prior to that. And she is the woman who, against every odd in the world, all the odds and all the obstacles in her way, founded this orphanage for children, most of whose parents had died of AIDS. And she was so infused with the joy and the love of God that she drew me to her. And I said, okay, that's where I want to go. So what I did was I found someone to go with me who'd been there before. And I would say to your listeners, if you're going to do something like this, you certainly don't want to just venture out on your own. You want to go with a youth group. You want to go with somebody in college who can guide you and be a mentor who's already been there.
Right.
And so we just picked up and went.
Did you have those moments, you know, when you're traveling, you're in a strange environment, the food's weird, and did you ever have that moment you wake up and go, what am I doing?
Well, I'll tell you exactly when I first felt that way. And this is in the book, I Am That Child, which I hope your listeners will want to read, because I think that will put you right there. You'll have a real sense of what this kind of experience is like. As we landed at Douala, Cameroon, and we had an eight-hour car ride to get to the orphanage, it was only 200 miles away. But in a developing nation, that 200 miles took 8 hours. Along the way, as you might guess, there are no roadside facilities in a country like this. So we had what we called a cornfield excursion. Here we are, let's having our little, shall we say, cornfield excursion, and I look up, and there are 12 men with machetes walking by down the road.
Oh.
And I look at the van that Sister Jane was in, and I look at the men, and I said to myself, there's no way I can get back to that van. You know, what am I going to do? So somehow this sense of calm came over me. I realized that the odds were 99%. These were just workers coming home from work. They were the least thing they expected to find were two American women running around in a field. You know, so I decided to act like nothing was wrong, and then nothing would be wrong. Sister Jane, who's very savvy, called the boys over to the van, and they started talking and laughing. And they went about their way, and then we scurried back to the van. And I said, Sister Jane, did you know these young men? How did you do? She goes, oh, no, my dear, but I could see you couldn't get back. So I called into the van, and I told them they looked like good boys, and they looked like they were hungry, and so I gave them some of our food.
Oh.
Now, she thought so quickly, but as I stayed there, I understood that that was an everyday occurrence in her life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That she had faced much worse danger than that herself, and had overcome much, much more dangerous situations. So, yeah, when I was in that cornfield and I was looking up, I'm like, what am I doing?
That's the moment, yeah. Well, you're listening to Power Talk. Our guest this evening is Elizabeth Geitz, and you can go to her website, ElizabethGeitz.com. That's G-E-I-T-Z. She is author of the book, I Am That Child, Changing Hearts and Changing the World. And if you're listening this evening, let me just say that I think so many times, you know, we're a Christian station. Most of our listeners, we are Christ followers, unapologetic Christ followers. But yet, how many times do we share our faith? How many times do we actually live and walk out the love of God in our life and share that to others? This is a great opportunity to get an up-close personal perspective of real-life mission work. And I Am That Child, it paints real faces of AIDS, poverty. They're just all sorts of... Elizabeth, I think you can concur. It's hard to put in words and explain to people if they haven't been there. But when you're there and you have, it's the smells and the texture and the actual, you know, flesh to flesh experience and touching and reaching out. It's amazing. Do you have a story or a person that you met that you were reaching out to that kind of sticks out as being, you just can't get them out of your mind? It's kind of the on the highlight reel, so to speak.
You know, there are a number of people like that, but I would like to tell your listeners about one of the children. When I was there, I interviewed 7 of the orphans who were old enough to be able to share their life story with me.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me. One young man, and I've given them all different names in the book because I think they need to have their own anonymity. You know, it's not fair to them to just lay their life story out there. But one young man began by saying, I'm from a polygamous family. And I wasn't sure what he was saying, and I realized he was saying polygamous. And he told me that his birth mother died, and that when that happened, no, I'm sorry, his father died, and that when that happened, the two wives in the marriage went off in different directions with their children. And he ended up, like many of the orphans, being taken in by an uncle. But what happens that I had not seen reported in the press is that these children who are the orphans and taken into extended families are very often treated like slaves within those family systems. And they're not allowed to go to school. Mm. Their school fees aren't paid. They have to work. They have to do all these things. So he was able to finally get out of that situation. But while he was still, right after he was in it, his mother became ill. And he and his brother went and took care of his mother. And the most poignant story was he told me that his mother, when he was 9 years old, died in his arms.
Mm, wow.
And he was holding her to him. And she died at 2:00 in the morning. Now, he had to go and tell her family in a nearby village. But he had to forge a rushing river in the middle of the night to get there.
Mm.
So he and his brother went. And they were scared for their lives because the river was so swift. And their grandmother had told them, don't ruin your clothes. So they had their clothes in the river. They're holding it up. He goes underwater and all this stuff. He finally gets to the other side, makes it to the village where his mother's family is, and nobody's there.
Mm.
So he waited, finally told them and was able to get back and do the funeral, finally made it to the Good Shepherd home. But after I spoke with him, I just sat there and I thought, you know, I had no reference point for a 9-year-old holding their mother to them while she died.
Mm, yeah.
And then having to make a dangerous trek like that through a rushing river in the middle of the night to tell her family.
Different world, isn't it?
It is, and this young man now wants to be a doctor. He wants to be a medical doctor. He's making excellent grades. He's studying so hard, and he's going to make it.
Hmm.
He will make it, and I see his face all the time in my mind.
You know, there is so much poverty, so much pain and anguish in the world. And if you're listening tonight, you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Elizabeth Geitz. And she's an author, a priest, and she's a missionary. She does mission outreaches to Africa. And by the way, her website is ElizabethGeitz.com, and Geitz is spelled G-E-I-T-Z, ElizabethGeitz.com. She has a book out, and it's called I Am That Child, Changing Hearts and Changing the World. And this evening, we're just talking about inspiring mission stories and outreach. And you know, we are called to reach out, to be disciples. And so many times we kind of tune out, or we don't really do a good job at sharing love with others. So we're hearing some of her stories. And Elizabeth, as we're talking, I can't help but reflect back on mission trips I've taken. And I think one of my profound moments, it was actually in Kenya. We took a medical team, and I went with a minister. He took a couple of doctors. We set up a medical tent. We fed kids in orphanages, and these doctors were treating people. People would come from villages all around. They would walk all day just to get, you know, medical attention. And but I remember one of the most amazing moments, profound and yet sad, in my life. There was a young lady, a mother, who had two young children, and she brought in this very sickly baby, and the baby had all the signs of starvation. It was literally just dying right there in front of us. And we found out her story about how she had twins, but she couldn't afford to feed both. She had to make a choice which one to feed to keep healthy and which one had to starve to death. So she was bringing, and I thought this was just a little infant. It was like a 2-year-old. It was just amazing. But I thought, you know, there is so much we have to be thankful for that we take for granted. And sometimes it takes exposing our eyes, our ears, our heart to real pain, real anguish, to really open up a dimension to us that can share that love. And so I don't know if you were to talk to people who are maybe considering a mission trip, or maybe they're a little lackadaisical. I mean, what do you say when you came back from Cameroon that first time over a cup of coffee? What are you saying to friends about the mission trip and how that can change your life?
You know, what I say is that what I got from the people of Cameroon, and particularly the children and Sister Jane, is so much greater than anything that I gave to them. What I saw and experienced was a deep spirituality and faith among these people that is unlike anything I have experienced in the United States.
Mm.
And that's really, really true. And it was so moving to me that in the midst of such scarcity, they had such an abundance of love for God and for Jesus. And when I would walk back to my guest quarters at night, I could hear them doing their night prayers and singing their praises to God, and their little voices soaring into the sky, into the night air. And they were so thankful. They were filled with such gratitude for so little. And as you see, I'm struggling with words here. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I would say to people is that go. It's not a sad experience. It's not. It's something that filled me with a kind of joy and fire.
Feels good to give. Yeah, feels good to give.
Nothing else does.
Hey, why did you write the book, I Am That Child?
I wrote it so I could share that experience with as many people as possible. I wrote it, it reads like a novel. It's narrative nonfiction, if you want to get technical about
mm-hmm,
it. But
mm-hmm.
It reads like a novel, and what I've done there is to bring you along on that journey with me. You're right there with me, and you're going to learn things as I learn them. You're going to experience them as I experience them. And then at the end of the book, I give like 15 different ways that you can become involved. Whether you go on a mission trip or not, there are ways you can become involved. And there are many, many ways that you can also take a trip like that yourself. My dream, my desire is to inspire other people, and particularly people that are in high school and college, to, you may have a gap year coming up. You've got an entire summer, you know, before you're tied down to a job. Do it. Take advantage of it.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. What kind of response are you getting from your book? What kind of feedback?
You know, it's been so heartening to me. It's only been out now for 6 weeks. And several people have begun to start programs based on a part of the book that touched their life. I'll give you an example. One mother of an epileptic child really zeroed in on my stories about the children who have epilepsy. There is a separate home for children with special needs. And it moved her so much that she started a whole program called Clip a Dollar for Epilepsy that we are just now beginning to launch. Because she read the book and it struck something in her that was related to her own life story, and she ran with the idea. And that's what I hope will continue to happen.
Excellent. You know, we have just a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure I give you time. If you're just tuning in, our guest this evening is Elizabeth Geitz, and her book is called I Am That Child, Changing Hearts and Changing the World. You know, we have a choice. Every day we make choices. We choose to complain, or we choose to be happy. We choose to be, you know, thankful and grateful, or we can be bitter. And same thing, you know, when we choose to walk out our faith, we choose to share our faith, others say, you know what, I'm just going to kind of keep it quiet, and there's, I think, no better way to experience just the joy of giving, and it's just amazing to be able to see firsthand other people in other nations, and to experience giving and sharing God's love. It does something. It really does. And I hope, like she said, if you've got a gap, a summer, maybe some time, talk to your youth pastor, see what missions you guys support in your church. But get involved, get plugged in. And Elizabeth Geitz also mentioned some ways you can get plugged in. And you can check out our website. It's elizabethgeitz.com. That's G-E-I-T-Z. ElizabethGeitz.com. A great example of people being aware of world issues and outreach. I don't know. Are you familiar at all with the Kony 2012? Have you seen or heard anything about that?
Yes, I have. I watched that entire video, and I thought it was very moving.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, that has shaken millions of people. It's shaken Hollywood. It's shaken political. And it's one person that made a video that it went viral. And I'm thinking, Elizabeth, you know, we have that capability. When we have passion, we have purpose, we have desire. And you know, it can spread. It can become viral. And it can reach so many people. Just, you know, for those who are listening and you just have some words of encouragement, or if you could just sum it all. And I know that's a big question, but you've had so many life experiences. You've had so many. If you could just kind of give a synopsis in a nutshell of, hey, this is what I've learned. This is my message to you. What would that be?
What I've learned is don't wait. What I've learned is if you have a desire in your heart, if you feel that you are being led somewhere by something, if there's an idea that you just won't leave you, then listen to it. You know, there's all this in the Bible about the still small voice of God, and we need to pay attention to that voice. Sometimes we need to unplug from everything around us to be able to do it, but we need to respond, and if we feel we're being led somewhere, I say go.
Excellent. That's great. Elizabeth Geitz, she's our guest. Once again, she's author of the book, I Am That Child, Changing Hearts and Changing the World. How long did it take for you to write this book?
I spent about 2.5 years researching a lot of the conditions in Cameroon that have led to these issues. So I spent about 2.5 years working on this book.
And do you see another book in the works?
Oh, probably, sure.
Yeah.
I've written about 7, so I always say, with each one, I say it's my last.
And then there's another one. Yeah, wow. And when's your next trip to Cameroon or Africa?
I'm either going to go at the end of this year or next year. Sister Jane is here in the United States right now, so I might wait and go next year.
Yeah. Now, do you have family, a husband, kids, or?
Oh, I do. I've got a husband and two children.
Wow. And do they ever come along with you?
Not yet. I'm still trying.
Okay. Well, that's got to be...
That's the other thing. If you're listening and you're married and it's not your spouse's thing, go with a friend.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
You know, you don't have to be held back by that, and not everybody has the same call. Not all of us in life have the same call. If you feel the call, I say answer it.
That's good. Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, I have enjoyed the time, and just speaking with you, it kind of brings back memories of mission trips, and it really is life-changing. But more importantly, we're fulfilling a call that God has called us to be disciples and reach out to the nations, and really appreciate the work you're doing with children who struggle in AIDS-torn regions and poverty, and just a lot of hurt people who need the love of Christ shown in a practical way, and really just amazed at people that sacrifice and dedicate their lives to that. So thank you very much. Really appreciate your time.
Rick, thank you so much for having me. It's been delightful to speak with you, and can't thank you enough for having me on your program.
Well, you bet. Well, God bless, and we'll talk to you soon. Once again, that was Elizabeth Geitz, and she's author of the book, I Am That Child, Changing Hearts and Changing the World. You can check out her website, Elizabeth Geitz, G-E-I-T-Z, ElizabethGeitz.com. And I want to encourage you to reach out, do something to reach your community. It doesn't have to be in Africa. It doesn't have to be in some foreign country. You know, it can be right here in your city. It can be in your school. It can be starting that Bible club. But you can be a light in a dark world, but it just takes, you know, not putting it off, doing it like Elizabeth said. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Just do it. And that'd be a good ad campaign, wouldn't it? Just do it. All right. We'll see you guys next Sunday right here on the Christian Rock Station.